Here in the U.S., more than 338,000 people have died from COVID-19, and each number represents a name, a life, a person. As this pandemic year comes to an end, we want to take a moment to remember some of those lives lost.
At the beginning, back in the spring, Lower New York was the biggest hotspot. 35-year-old Michael J. O'Brien of Connecticut was in Westchester, New York, DJing an event on March 10th. 16 days later, he died. We spoke with his father, Bill, who describes his son's sudden death as a wake-up call.
From China, we were getting the message that, you know, it's more the elderly that it's hitting. But they were saying people with underlying conditions, and Mike did have diabetes, but still, that he's only 35, you know, I think was, so far as I know, still the youngest in the state to have died from it, and that his co-workers and his wife got it as well, shattering any myths that people might have had, and the four of them were in the car together, I guess, or at the bar together, and that they all got it shows how contagious it is.
What would you like us to know about Mike?
Mike was... he was his own kind of guy. He wasn't, you know, the splashy kind of guy. He didn't like conflict. He was always one that would lend an ear to people. You know, he did things quietly, but he really enjoyed the karaoke and the being able to entertain people. He was extremely interested in a lot of things, from theater to astronomy, and big Star Trek fan.
Bill also told us that because of restrictions, he and his wife drove into the hospital parking lot as close to Michael's window as they could to be near him when he died.
Annette Dushner of Valley Stream, New York, was a vivacious mother of four children, grandmother to six young grandchildren, and a retired teacher's aide who lost her fight against the coronavirus on Easter Sunday. Her son Daryl joined Here and Now to talk about the deadly cost of President Trump's coronavirus messaging. He said Trump's interest in prioritizing his reelection over public health has caused so many to suffer, like his mother.
Close your eyes for a moment. Picture your family. Now imagine them gasping for air, frenetically ambulanced to the hospital, and then dying with the electronic sound of their fading pulse as their only company. You know, my mother loved many things. She loved getting together with family and celebrating holidays. She loved eating pasta, and she loved watching TV, including the news. And when you have conservative media trickling down the lies, you have mixed messages about whether this is less harmful than the flu, that the flu is more deadly than this coronavirus. And then 6 weeks later, you turn the chip around and you're claiming you need to stay in and that this thing could really hurt you. It confuses people. You're supposed to trust what the president says to you. I never would have thought of my mother as an unsuspecting martyr, but that's exactly what you're making her, along with the tens of thousands of her faded but not forgotten peers. And with every passing day, you don't right your presidency ship and handling of this catastrophe, you're creating thousands more, because the cause they unwittingly died for will undoubtedly be your removal from office.
Annette Dushner was 72 years old.
Denise Price, a mental health counselor from Louisville, Kentucky, says that she and several of her family members contracted coronavirus in August, have since recovered, but her father, Everett Boone Pike, did not. Pike was a retired police officer and a healthy and active 90-year-old. He attended church four times a week, had plenty of friends, raised beagles, and tended to his livestock on the family's 80-acre farm. On the day he went to the hospital, he had already ridden his stationary bike for 5 miles, cut 5 acres of grass. His daughter Denise told us she struggles with the fact that he died alone.
It is so difficult. You know, what I present is not what I'm feeling inside. It's so hard. I've been helped a great deal, as has the other members of my family, by some Facebook COVID support groups we've joined. The one that I participate in most is called COVID-19 Loss and Support for Family and Friends. And the biggest majority of us didn't really get to say goodbye to our loved one. We didn't get to support them, hover over them, nurture them. And that is just really, really hard to live with.
Everett Boone Pike died in September.
Also in September, photos of more than 900 people who died of COVID-19 were placed along the nearly 2-mile stretch of Belle Isle in Detroit. The markers were part of the city's tribute to those who didn't get to have a proper funeral during the pandemic. I spoke with Erica Maria, whose grandmother, Frances Basil, was honored. She said she was surprised that she saw so many people she knew at the memorial.
It was wild. It was mind-blowing. But at the same time, it kind of made us feel like we were all one. Because it was like the people who were near my grandmother, while we were out there and they were at their loved one's picture, we just kind of expressed like an unspoken, you know, word through our eyes while they were putting balloons by their loved one. We were putting balloons by our grandmother. It was like, okay, we love you. You guys be safe. You know, when we were pulling off, everybody exchanged the same type of love. It was like it's extension of your family now. It felt like we had something that bonded us.
Frances Basil died in a nursing home in April. She was 82 years old.
Iris Maida retired in January after years of grueling nursing jobs, but when the pandemic hit, she felt the need to serve, jumping at the opportunity to teach nursing at Collin College in McKinney, Texas. But despite the PPE Maida wore while teaching, she contracted the virus from an unsuspecting infected student. Her daughter, Celine, describes the agony of the last living memory she has, not being able to escort her mother, again a nurse, into the hospital.
The last time I saw my mother was when I dropped her off at an emergency room in North Dallas, and they would not allow her in the waiting room. We had to wait in the drive-through, and when a triage nurse came out, now, mind you, I'm watching my mother who has given her life in service as a nurse, and she's hunched over, gasping for breath, on an outdoor bench in a drive-thru in front of an emergency room. I begged them to come help her, and I tried to go into the triage area with her because she had some drug allergies, and they were adamant about me not even going into the triage area with her for fear that I may also be infected. So the last time I saw my mother was me screaming to the triage nurse to please take her and please care for her. I was not able to see my mother again until she had already passed.
Iris Maida died in mid-November. She was 70.
This month in California, family and friends of Steve Michael Robles celebrated his life in a memorial service over Zoom. Robles, born to Mexican and Italian parents, was a former journalist who did marketing later in Los Angeles. Friends say his laughter and warmth and intelligent spirit were infectious. Ellie Tumbuwan of the Bay Area dated Steve 20 years ago, and after their breakup, they became close friends, so close, she says, he remained the closest person to her until she met her partner.
His personality and the way that he made people feel, both about themselves and each other and about the world, is also something that I think many of us in community are trying to bring back into focus. that COVID is actually, if we want to take the chance, providing us a way to reimagine how do we want to really live our lives. And to me, he will always represent the conviction and the passion of following your heart. And that while that may not always be measured in socially acceptable ways, that there is always value in that, and there is healing in that, not just for ourselves, but for our community.
Tumbuwan says she's not sure how or where Steve contracted the virus in mid-March. He died in April at the age of 52.
Remembering just some of the lives lost to COVID-19 this year, we were privileged to hear about. There are so many to name, but each of them come with dozens more grieving loved ones. We wish them comfort and peace.